This is the Rogers Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square Realty Advisors. I'm your host, Louis Rogers, founder and CEO. Capital Square is a real estate firm that specializes in tax-advantaged real estate investments. We are recording today from our Innsbruck headquarters, right here in the west end of Richmond, Virginia. The goal of Capital Square is to help you swap till you drop. That's a little Section 1031 joke that will make more sense later on. Please welcome my sidekick, Rick Chess. I've known Rick since we were both young lawyers all the way back in the 80s, Rick at United Dominion REIT and me at the Hunton and Williams Law Firm. Rick worked on acquisitions at United Dominion and is very active with his Chess Law Firm. Welcome, Rick.
Thank you, Louis. Look forward to talking to you about 1031s and how it affects real estate. What I learned at United Dominion and have learned subsequently in other real estate transactions, it's not just what you're going to make in real estate, it's what you're going to hold on to afterwards. And time again, I've seen through 1031 in particular and some other tax issues we'll talk about, you can take a good real estate investment and make it a great real estate investment with just a little bit of planning.
If you're interested in learning more about tax-advantaged real estate investments, Capital Square will be hosting a number of seminars in our Innsbruck office. And for those of you who like working from home, I think I'm sick of working from home. I'm in the office today. But if you like virtual working from home, we will have the seminars available on Teams or some other virtual media. So stay tuned for the schedule. For lawyers and CPAs, the seminars qualify for CLE credits. And if you have questions about real estate, call the office and leave your question. You can call 877-626. Guess the last four digits, Rick.
Got to be 1031.
And if you call my cell phone, what are the last four digits?
It's 1031.
It's 1031 all the time. Every clock is 1031 all the time. Now let's have fun with 1031. Rick, let's start with our regular weekly segment called Fun Facts You Should Know. Okay. This is from the funny papers from a long time ago. And let's start with our second week's fun fact you should know. Rick, Section 1031 exchanges are commonly known for a famous case. Don't say it.
Okay.
The case that first validated a delayed or a deferred exchange. And
a delayed or deferred. As far as what letter it starts with?
No.
No, I can't even give them that. Okay, you're tough.
Cannot give you any hints except to say that in a delayed exchange, I sell my relinquished property today. And I acquire a replacement property at a later date. That's a delayed or deferred exchange. This case is famous. Everybody's heard of the famous case. And the first so many members of the audience to email the answer or to call the office, fun fact hotline, will win a nice prize. You can win a beautiful Yeti tumbler.
Ooh, wow.
A shirt or my favorite. What's my favorite?
Well, it has to be hot dogs. It's having to be going to have some hot dogs. And what's the name of the place you go to?
Joey's. Lunch with the Capital Square team at Joey's Dogs in Innsbruck. You pick 877-626-1031. All right, let's have fun with 1031. Let's start with Section 1031. Been around since 1921. We're celebrating the 100th anniversary of our favorite code section, and it's a very simple provision. It's a golden oldie. It was written way back when the Internal Revenue Code was one little booklet. There was a day when you could put the Internal Revenue Code in your back pocket while you're playing golf. Today, it's, I'm looking at them, two massive volumes. The regulations were one little volume. Now the regulations are five volumes. Back in the day of simple English, 1031 said that no gain or loss shall be recognized on the exchange of property held for productive use in a trade or business or for investment if such property is exchanged solely for property of like kind, we'll talk about like kind, which is to be held either for productive use in a trade or business or for investment. So let's break it down. 1031 is talking about tax deferral. It says no gain shall be recognized. That means you don't pay the tax. The tax is deferred. It doesn't forgive the tax. It defers the tax until you sell the replacement property in a taxable transaction.
So it's not a tax dodge.
No, it's a deferral.
Deferral.
It's a deferral, and it creates, you know, some complication, and there are ramifications.
But isn't it very similar to what you do when you put money into, I don't know, a 401k or an IRA? It's the same concept, isn't it?
The funds have to stay invested.
Yep.
So it is very similar. The beautiful part of 1031 is you can plan your affairs. When the time comes to sell a property, in a loose sense, you structure an exchange. When that property matures some years later, you can exchange it again, and you can swap over and over and over again in a series of transactions that it's too corny to call it.
Well, it's swap until you drop.
Correct. And then what happens when you drop under current tax law?
Well, you get a stepped up basis and the tax goes away because, you know, the people say, well, that's a tax dodge. No, it isn't. As we go into this discussion here, we'll figure out that by allowing for 100 years, 1031, we have allowed communities to blossom. We've allowed money to be reinvested in real estate because the IRS realized, or at least the U.S. Congress realized, that you as the investor are better suited to do things with your money to help improve the country rather than going up to the federal government taxes.
Well said. So no gain or loss shall be recognized. If you have a loss, don't structure an exchange. You want to recognize losses.
Yep.
You want to defer gains. You want to defer them as long as you can over and over and over again. We're talking about a certain type of property. We're talking about investment property or business property. Rick, is there one kind of property we're not talking about?
Well, we're not talking about residential, which you're using for your primary residence. There's other tax advantages there. And we're not talking about a second home. But as we get into this, on both of those types of properties, there are times down the line, properly structured, where the benefits of 1031 could also apply to you, where you change the use.
Excellent. Excellent. So we're talking about investment property, business property, not your principal residence. Your principal residence has a code section 121, where the tax is essentially forgiven on $250,000 or $500,000 husband and wife. So that already has a tax-favored provision, and you can bifurcate. You can take the old home place and have a principal residence and a farm or a ranch and divide it up into 1031 and 121. We'll talk about that later on.
Is that something that's really expensive, Lois, or is that something even with a good accountant, they can do the bifurcation?
It's straightforward.
Okay.
It's not a problem. And then there's something called 1033, which are involuntary conversions, casualty condemnation. They operate very similar to 1031. We'll talk a little bit about them later on, but let's get to the vesting rule in section 1031. The same taxpayer that owns the relinquished property acquires the replacement property. And I should have described the terminology here. Your old property, the property being transferred, is the relinquished property. The property being acquired is the replacement property. The taxpayer is the owner, and the same taxpayer must acquire the replacement property. If that's a person, then it's exactly Fred Smith. If it's Fred and Sally, it's Fred and Sally. If it's an LLC, an LP, a corporation, or a trust, same taxpayer must acquire replacement property.
And it's probably the one issue, Lewis, I've had more pushback from investors over the years because somebody is divorced and they're getting remarried and the spouse wants to get on the title or they want to give away something to their kid. Trust us. I mean, we've been doing this for decades. However you sell it, that's how you have to buy it.
Yes. Wait a year and a day and retitle. Now, there is an exception for what we call disregarded entities, DEs, tax nothings, tax ghosts. If you form a single member LLC, it doesn't exist for tax purposes. So the owner of that entity is the taxpayer. And so if you would like the benefit of limited liability, for example, you can form a single member LLC. It doesn't exist for tax purposes. It uses your tax ID number and could give you the benefit of limited liability. So just a vesting rule. It's a word to the wise. Let's talk about the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017. Almost eliminated 1031 completely, but as it was adopted, it eliminated 1031 for personal property. So no more fleets, no more aircraft exchanges, no more tractor exchanges and things like that. Just real estate. No impact on real estate. So that's a positive.
Real estate, Lewis, like a hotel where there's all the beds and all the rest. That's personal property. Can you still do a transaction?
You bifurcate.
Okay.
You divide up the personal property and that's likely to be a taxable transaction.
Okay.
Also in the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, there was bonus depreciation and the 20% pass-through deduction, which were very positive things. But let's talk about the goals or the opportunities that we have with Section 1031. These are not the things you'll hear from your CPA. Your CPA will say tax deferral. The tax you didn't pay is deferred, and that has a value. You could put a value on the tax you didn't pay. But let's talk about the more human side. 1031 allows you to build family wealth over time. The tax that wasn't paid is reinvested and over time compounded. And so you can build an enormous value for future generations. We've been around going on 9-10 years, and we have people who've done 7 exchanges. They have kids and grandkids that can benefit from the value that's being created.
Something I said earlier that I need to clarify, I talked about this being like a 401k or an IRA. The problem with a 401k or an IRA, if you have your money sitting there and you start paying out monthly distributions, they're taxable. But what if they go into a, I don't know, a 1031, a DST, for instance, and they've put their, can they take out, I mean, can they get a monthly distribution?
They do get a monthly distribution. That's the plan. Okay. Every month might, by ACH right into their bank account.
Okay. Okay. Yep. Okay.
So the plan is to create income, cash flow. But one of the big benefits is to build family wealth. Second benefit is the opportunity to acquire a higher quality replacement property. We have several thousand investors, and many of them had rental houses. And in the rental house, if you're the owner, you deal with the three T's. What are the three T's?
I've gone through this with a duplex. You're dealing with the tenants. What damage are they going to do? You're dealing with the toilets. The toilets always seem to back up about 3 o'clock in the morning when you're trying to get to sleep. And there's the trash. They have a big party. That those three T's will drive you crazy. And in my case, I sold that property and got out of it. Even though it was giving me a good return, it was so disruptive of my life.
Yes. The third T can also be teenagers. In Ooh. Texas, it's teenagers. Teenagers, toilets, and trash. But one of the benefits, one of the opportunities is to acquire a higher quality replacement property. You could acquire a net leased Walgreens or a Dollar General or a DST. You could acquire a multifamily apartment community. It could be worth $50 or $100 million.
And I don't have to take care of the toilets or the tenants or the trash. It's not my problem anymore.
You have a property manager and an asset manager that report to you. And so, yes, you can build family wealth. You can acquire a higher quality property. And you can diversify to reduce risk. We talk about diversification all the time. But instead of buying a single property, you could acquire a number of DSTs or net leases and diversify to reduce your risk.
One of the risks that I know I had on some of the properties I owned was I was personally on the note. And you got to believe that when I would talk to my wife about, yeah, we own this nice investment, but I'm personally on a note for $1.5 million.
Yeah, didn't go over big.
Out of that was wonderful.
Didn't go over big. On the DSTs, the debt is non-recourse. And so the investors are not personally liable to pay it back. The real estate's responsible because there's a mortgage, but you're not personally liable. And they're DSTs that are all cash with no debt.
Now I'm jumping ahead, Lewis, a little bit, but I'm thinking about it. You know, what if, you know, if I'm selling the family farm and I get $1 million, some big number, does it all have to go DST or buying another property or paying taxes? Do I have to go in one direction?
You have complete freedom. You could buy a rental house. You could buy a DST. You could cash out some.
Wow, that's cool.
So lots of flexibility. And there's a great opportunity. This last opportunity is potential tax forgiveness. Now, it doesn't come without some pain because you have to die to receive it. But Rick, tell us about the step up on death.
Well, I mean, the cool thing under the current tax code, let's say on a property that you're invested in, that, you know, it's worth a lot of money, but if you sold it while you were alive, you'd have to make up the depreciation, because you've been taking depreciation along the line. If there was a growth, you'd have to pay capital gains tax on that. Well, what happens under the current law, and it's been this way for decades, is at death, all those issues go away. You get a stepped up on basis. So, you know, you, or in this case, your estate, doesn't have to pay all those taxes back, because it's almost the Congress saying, look, you've done exactly what we wanted you to do in reinvesting the money in the community. Okay, here's the benefit we're going to give you when you die.
Yes. So we talked about deferral. The tax is deferred. And you could defer it over and over and over and over again. And then when you meet your maker, that tax can be forgiven. So it's a magical thing. We do have a concern about tax reform. We'll have a whole session on tax reform.
Sure.
But it's a concern. Congress is considering capital gains rates increases, ordinary income rates increases, and modifying Section 1031. I encourage you to go to the Capital Square 1031 website, click on the box, and prepare a virtual letter to Congress. All you have to do is fill in your zip code, and the letter will be automatically prepared, and we'll send to your Congress people a request to retain our Section 1031.
If you get rid of 1031, a third, maybe more, of my family's net worth is going out. And that's the money I need to pay for my kids to go to college. That's the money I need to be able to, for grandma to be able to have health care. So it is really personal, and it's worked for 100 years. Let's not mess with something that works.
Good. Well said. Well said. Why do we have Section 1031? The theory is continuity of investment. You start with real estate, you end with real estate, and you never cash out. You never receive anything except real estate, like-kind real estate. And so congressional policy for 100 years has been that that is not taxable. Why do we exchange? I think we've hit on some of these points. The one we've hit on the most is the tax deferral. The tax is deferred until you elect to sell taxable. It's within your control to exchange over and over again or to sell taxable. That tax deferral has a value. You can quantify it. We'll talk about it more in a minute. The other reasons we exchange are not quite so obvious. Let's say you want to change your type of real estate. Two parts of this piece. Let's say you have non-income producing property, which is land, generates no income. Even worse, you have to bush hog it. You have to pay the taxes, the insurance, maintain it, keep the kids out with their dirt bikes, all that jazz. You can exchange that negative income producing, non-income producing property for income producing property. I've seen hundreds of cases where families have improved their lot in life. They've been able to put the kids through college, go on trips, do charitable deeds by converting the non-income producing to income producing.
There's another thought here, Lewis, and it's under the old heading of, you know, did you date before you got married? I've had folks who made their money farmland, and they want to build self-storage. They want to build apartments. They want to build medical, but they don't know anything about it. I said, well, look, you got this money you got from selling the farm. If you want to buy apartments, build apartments someday, why don't you buy part of a couple different apartments? You get to go visit it. You get to go talk to the people on site. You get to go, you know, because you have money now invested, you will learn things. When you look at the reports that you get from Capital Square, the appraisal that was done before, it's like a college education. And you're still getting paid a distribution for it. But so, yes, you want to change your type of real estate to diversify, to get income, et cetera. But also look at part of this is how do you grow yourself? And this is a unique opportunity where it's a win-win. You can diversify, you can get cash flow, but you can also start learning. It's interesting.
That's a good point. So we exchange for tax deferral. That's the obvious one. To change the type of real estate from non-income producing land to income producing. And then there's another part of the change of the type, and that's to go from the management intensive property where you have the tenants' toilets and trash that were ruining your lifestyle for a more passive investment. That could be a net leased Walgreens or Dollar General or DST, but you can go from active management to passive management and improve your lifestyle.
What's the old thing is, you know, are you working for money or is your money working for you? And, you know, you want to at some point, I mean, I've done DSTs with people in their 30s. In the end, while the investment is solving a issue for them, what it almost always does, it opens up other opportunities for them.
Excellent. And then the third reason we exchange comes from Willie in Stafford. Willie was one of my first exchange clients way back in the dark days before cell phones and at the beginning of computers. And Willie said, if somebody's willing to overpay for my property, I will sell it to them. I'll have you do one of those 1031 exchange things, and I'll steal a property from somebody not as smart as me. Willie was a great guy. So those are the reasons we exchanged. The tax deferral is obvious. The change of type of real estate, not so obvious. And then if somebody's willing to pay full price or more. Thank you for joining today's episode of Rogers Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square Realty Advisors. Please join me, Lewis Rogers, and Rick Chess, same time next week when we discuss cutting-edge real estate topics of interest locally and nationally. Take me out to the country.